Deborah, with her 30 years of being an entrepreneur and creating over 7 companies, knows exactly what it means to accept the mission. When you make that decision, when you accept the mission to become a solopreneur, to take yourself and your talents to market, then you embrace a life of not only unlimited possibilities, but also the unknown. It's an elixir of fear and bravery that only someone who's taken the leap really understands. On our show, Deb digs deep with her guests to highlight what you, the listener, wants to know. The stories, the whys, and the hows to navigate the journey to success. Get ready to hear from some of the most incredible mission takers from Generation Z to Boomers. So sit up, perk up, and get ready to be blown away. Now here is your host, Deborah Drummond.
Welcome back. I know that you came back to learn something about wealthy, being comfortable being wealthy. What is it like to be abundant? You know, we don't use certain words at Mission Accepted. One of them starts with B, ends with Y. We say we are abundant. You're accumulating, you're expanding, you're rising up, you're tide rising, you're doing all the things. Well, you can't do that without solid stream of resources, right? And Amanda Taylor is all things money. I said it. I said the M word. It's a good word. And you're going to find out why it's a good word. And maybe you're going to find from money flowing. I just said the word abundant. When you think about abundance, when you think about flow. Anyways, money's a great topic. Why? Because it's an important part of the world, right? It's something that we use. I remember reading an incredible book. And the book was teaching about the flow of money and how the more it flows, the more it can be abundant. And I remember this philosophy reading, I believe, a Shakti Gaiwan, Living in the Light. And it was about that money is never really ours, that if we let it flow, the more it comes. Like if you think about the money that's in your wallet right now, and hopefully you have some cash. I'm a true believer in having cash in your wallet. So if you have some cash, was it yours before you got it? And will it be yours once you give it away? And once you kind of let that flow. So anyways, Amanda's all things money. If you're going to talk money, you're going to talk about this woman. You're going to go see her. She just rocked the stage on the 262 talking about this topic. You'll see her on the women's channel. You may be enticed to come do something where me and Amanda are going to come do something. So stay tuned, not only to this show, to all things that we do. And I'm going to stop talking because I want to learn about money too, right? So you are, as an audience, going to leave today so excited, not only on your mission, but you are going to leave abundant, looking for all things good. So Amanda Taylor, how about that as an intro? Come on love over it. To the Mission Accepted podcast. How are you today?
I love it. I am fantastic. That's a great introduction. I'll take it. How are you?
I'll take it. So look, I said all things money, all things abundance. And we were talking pre-show, me, you, and Carmel were having a conversation about really probably more about the mindset of money, about how some people love it, some people are drawn to it, some people are drawn to more, some people have ideas around struggle or that it's not as fruitful and all the things. So I don't know where you want to start in relationship to talk about money. Maybe share with us what you do, but then also maybe expand on that, on how your principles or money are really for everybody.
Yeah, absolutely. So I heard this from a woman that I really respect, and it's not what do you do, but what do you stand for? Ooh. And what I stand for is really creating a world where we shift the paradigm of what it means to be wealthy. I didn't grow up wealthy, upper middle class in America. Okay. Better than probably most. And I'll take it. I understand that. But I didn't have a good concept of what it meant to make money, create money, have wealth. And when I, you know, I've got a long story I could tell you from day one of, you know, working in dentistry to getting into real estate to becoming an entrepreneur. And then, you know, I don't have a 401k and no employer's contributing to my retirement plan. And I'm a proud Gen Xer, and I'm not going to have Social Security when I get there. And so no one's coming to save us. So what do I do? And that's when I started thinking, you know, they don't teach us this stuff. And, you know, we were taught by our parents, my generation, you go to work, you get a job, you retire. Well, the world doesn't work that way anymore. And so the more I learned about ways that I could, as an entrepreneur, self-employed person, grow and protect wealth, I got in this mindset of, why is no one telling us about this? Why is no one like shouting it from the rooftops? Like, hey guys, did you know that you could make money this way? Did you know you could do this in your sleep? And it just became a message to me that I can't keep in. I have to share, and really important to me that women especially know it, because I feel like we have been undereducated, underconfident, and really intimidated by wealth, by finances, not even money, but we've been taught save, don't spend too much, be in charge of the budget, pinch your pennies, and that's not what it's about. And so I really just want to change the collective about what it means to have money, to grow money, to spend money, and to have a relationship with money.
There's a lot there. I think the part that I love the most that I'd love to dig into a little bit is because we all are very different in our relationship to everything. So let's talk about the relationship to money. You just finished giving us some highlights on some of the things that might be rotating in this gorgeous mind of ours around money. We people have had experiences with money where they've taken risk and it hasn't worked out. We've had situations where people save everything and they have what they think that they have saved for, yet they don't, they may hold on too tight. Like, let's talk about the relationships that people have with money and let's try to do some shifting around that.
Yeah, you're a music nerd like me. I use "Hold On" loosely all the time when I talk about money. And you said it in the beginning. It is an energy, and it does flow. And I was never that woo-woo person. And when I first heard that term, I was like, "What are you talking about? Money is an energy." And then the more I studied it, and the more I thought about it, I'm like, "Wow. This makes so much sense." And the relationship with money, we all have a story. We all have a history, and we all have some generational belief about money, whether you grew up poor. And so now you have this scarcity mindset of, I have to keep everything I make and it's mine. And I better not spend it because I never know when the next shoe's, when the shoe's going to drop. Or maybe, you had depression era grandparents, and it's the same thing. There's so many stories that we got, whether we know it or not, from our upbringing, and they've just translated in how we work with money every day. So that's where you have to really start is, I've heard people talk about it, like, if you were dating money, what would your relationship be like?
That's
And
awesome.
I can't even claim that it was mine, but that's such a great question. What would your relationship be like? Would you have a good relationship, or do you ghost them? Are you a one night stand kind of girl with your money? Like, how does this work? And so really diving into those beliefs, not just about your relationship with money, but wealth. That's a different word. It's a different mindset. And I hear people, Carmel brought this up and she's like, oh, when you hear the word filthy rich, it seems like a bad thing. And people are like shameful around wanting to be wealthy. And I'm like, wait a minute. Why? Because you know what I can do when I have wealth? I can spend it. And you know what happens when I spend money? I help other people who are selling products. I can be a philanthropist. I can support nonprofits that I want to support. I can invest in women-owned businesses because less than 2% of venture capital goes to those female-owned businesses. I can invest in medical technologies that align with my values. There is so much I can do to make this world a better place through wealth. And that's what I am trying to change. Especially as women, because when we invest with our intuition and with our values and into our communities and into our families, we can change the world, literally.
I mean, that's not even a Oh, that would be nice one day statement. That literally is alive today. We see it. We sit at some of the same tables and we are seeing the rise. I call it the tide rise of what women want and what women feel they want, and that women are going after that. And yet I do believe that the majority of people that are making their way to that place of wealth, you know, whatever that is for them, there's still some of these voices that they have to work through. You know, we call it, you know, going to that next level, and you come up against yourself. Talked about it on a show yesterday about how, oh, I know, I was doing a training for all the women that are going to the Emmys to represent 262 in September. And I said, look, if it hasn't happened yet, it will. That's what this group's for. Is at a certain point, you're going to wonder, why me? Who am I to be standing at the Emmys? Like, I'm like, the goblin's going to come up. You know, this is what you do with the goblins. This is how you talk to the goblin. This is how I talk to mine. You know, and we talk about that. And it's all part of whether it's deserving or who do I think I am? I came from here. I never had that. Who do, like, all of those things start to play factor into. And then you have this mixed bag of relationship that other people have had with money that you talk about have been imprinted generationally. Right. You know, we know what it's like to have, we know what it's like to not have. We watch people in the world on the news and otherwise have and not have. And I think it makes for people want to have faith. They want to feel financially free. They want to understand that abundant is just not a word that's in the dictionary. They want to feel free from their own fears around money. Wealth. When you say it, it does have a completely different energy. And then a lot of times up comes insecurities on people not knowing how to obtain wealth. They think it's a secret club in the back of the room. And who knows, one day, what, you know, it probably was, you know, years ago, the secrets, and you each one, ooh, the secrets to success, right? It's like, it don't have to be a secret. I just laid a whole lot of track on you. I just did a double-sided album for someone like me and you. But all of this is about the mind garbage. Like the mind garbage. Like, Amanda, how do you wash that stuff out of your head?
I know, it's like put your brain in the dishwasher and let's start over.
Yeah.
I wish I knew, but what I tell people and the people that come into my programs and my coaching and my community is education and intimidation have an inverse relationship. And a lot of that insecurity and those limiting beliefs and those what ifs and I can't and I don't know, that comes out of intimidation. And the reason we're intimidated is because we don't know. And you don't know what you don't know. So let's come into a place where we can learn in a non-intimidating environment. And you know what? I don't have any finance licenses. I dropped my finance class in college because I didn't get it. I am in a place of power because I've just done it through learning. I've found the experts. And you are absolutely right. And I mentioned this in my 262 talk that, you know, until 1974, you know, a woman couldn't get a credit card without a man's permission. We are not that far removed. And we have this ingrained, you talk about generational, this ingrained sense of this is not meant for us. That is his job, their job, not mine. They do it. I don't. You know, when you go to the financial planner, oh, that's his, he makes that decision. I'll just, whatever he says, that's fine. And that's fine. If that's the way you want to live and you trust that, fine. I've seen too many scenarios, though, where someone trusted someone else to make a decision and it wasn't made for the good of all. Not saying that happens to everybody, but it happens. And now we are on the precipice. You talk about real world. We are about to have the greatest wealth transfer in history. And the majority of that is going to go to women because we're living longer. We're getting, you know, unfortunately, you know, death and divorce, we are getting transfer of wealth through that. Women are going to have control in more ways than one. And so it's time. It's our time to step into that power and not just have the money and not know what to do with it, but to have the confidence to say, hey, I have an opportunity here to step into this power and to really affect the rest of generations, you know, Whether you want to create generational wealth or you want to die with zero, I don't care what you do, but use it while you have it and know how to use it for good. And there was a men's club. You know, these are the tools that the old white guys have used for year hundreds of years to create generational wealth. But you know what? I can do it. You can do it. There's just nobody telling us that we can, and we think we have to ask for permission, and we don't. We just have to know what to do.
I think you encapsulated that brilliantly, and I believe that the number one source that can solve a lot of that chatter is one, recognizing that the chatter may not be current, right? I'm very big sharing with people. They're like, oh, blah, blah. I'm like, did you ask yourself if it's true? They're like, what do you mean? I go, oh, you don't know that 90% of the comments you tell yourself are lies. So ask yourself, is it true? And if it's, not true, then it's not true, and you get to toss that out. But one of the other things that really gives people power, and you know, I don't know about you, but used to hear like, you know, education, education, educate yourself, educate yourself, educate yourself. And that sometimes would make people feel like that meant, you know, that they had to go on to further education. But I think educating yourself is just being willing and open to saying, I don't know everything I need to know. And I think that in arena of money, takes its own kind of little courage and bravery to go, excuse me, I really don't know what anyone's talking about here. And so getting educated, and I believe that that is a form of power from the sense of it will wash out a lot of that mindset that we just talked about because you'll have data to prove otherwise. Also, updating that data. It's interesting, right? Like a lot of us walk around, okay, you know, myself included. I'm like, when's the last time you updated your phone? I'm like, oh, I know, right? You know, so, but when it comes to wealth, having someone, you know, keep on top of the update for you that you trust. But if you know what they're talking about, so you're educated enough that you can have those conversations, you feel less disempowered. It's kind of like, you know, we go to a hairdresser. We hope that they're up to snuff on the styles and the things that we're choosing. We can see that, and it's a whole different ball game, right? So just staying up to date, reading someone like yours newsletter, staying up to date on information that's really important. It's amazing how many times there's not too many out there, I would have to say, that have made themselves available like you have, Amanda, with the kind of information that you have, that are willing to say things like, look at, take, like, sit back and think about this. If you are a woman, you've only been able to have your own credit card for how many years? Not that many years. And it kind of takes the pressure off. You're like, right. This is a whole different time and era. And just to catch yourself up. Yeah.
Absolutely. And, you know, I say the best first investment you can make is in yourself. And in that education, take it. You're right. You don't have to go get a finance degree. Like I said, I don't have it. It's listen to a podcast, join a community, read a blog, get a book. You know, the resources are out there, and find your trusted person that you align with, that has your values, that you know you connect with. You know, there's hundreds of people out there who are probably preaching from the same Bible that I am, but you have to find your person. And that's what this is, you know, about, is just making the choice that yes, I'm going to do something about this. I'm going to put myself in a position to be aware and awake to what's happening. And even if I don't get a settlement of millions of dollars, even if I don't have, you know, you don't have to have hundreds of thousands of dollars to start investing and growing wealth. You can start with your spare change. And those baby steps and building that confidence is what stops those beliefs and stops that imposter syndrome and just helps you grow from level to level. And so I think people assume a lot about investing that is not true.
Oh, let's stop there. Let's stop there. That is absolutely accurate because you think when you talk about when you were kind of giving an idea of how women are coming into money, women are being entrepreneurs, they have money, they're making money. Are they investing it or are they investing, going back into their business, back into their business? And what are they taking aside if they're taking aside and all of those things that you cover? And first of all, I think you have a community, so why not? You know, Amanda has a community, so let's talk about that. But the other thing that I want to really touch on, because as women are coming into their own, I don't think you're talking about women that are 18, 19, and 20. Not that people aren't listening that are 18, 19, and 20. But I think there is something that says, because we've all watched, we've all read the book that shows us if we invest when we're 16, we're going to be millionaires when we're 32. And then for those people that didn't invest when they were 16 and at 32, they were having their first baby and they were like scraping it together or whatever. People think that inside, they may not say it, but as they get to that place where that window starts to shorten, because the book actually ended, the number ended, and they're somewhere at that end age. What would you have to say to women that are feeling, or even men that are feeling like, man, I need all the money that I have, and I don't know how I can put money away because I'm at this place in my life. Maybe a business deal didn't go well. Maybe a divorce didn't go well. Maybe all those things didn't go well. And they feel like they are just too darn mature in their life to be able to capitalize and make enough money for the next, 30.
Yeah, the Chinese proverb, the best time to plant a tree was 20 years ago, the next best time is now. There's never a too late. And as I talked about Gen X at the beginning, we're the least prepared generation for retirement than has ever been. The average retirement account is less than $100,000. And they're estimating we need 1.26 million to retire comfortably. Okay. I don't know a Gen Xer who has that. I mean, I do, but not many, because like I said, less than $100,000 saved. So there's a lot of us who are exactly who you just described, entrepreneur or W-2. Doesn't matter. We didn't get the info correct. We missed the boat. And now a lot of us put some money in the stock market, in the 401k and the IRAs, and that was what we were told to do. And we're at a pretty volatile point at that right now. And we were not made aware, or some of us were, some of us weren't, that there are other asset classes outside of that S&P 500 that you can not only cash flow, but will appreciate, and you can get equity in. And there's tons of ways to, you talked about that chart. You put a penny in, and if you do compounding interest, you're going to be, that's a real thing. Compounding interest is your friend, and there are many, many ways to create that outside of just the stock market. I think people get stuck in stock market or crypto now. There's so much more to that. I started out as a real estate investor, and then I found out you can grow wealth through your life insurance policy and use it while you're alive. What? Why did nobody tell me this? You can invest in precious metals. You can invest in other businesses. Like, there are so many ways to park your money that you can actually have liquidity in it. You can use it. You can get dividends paid to you monthly, cash flow. There is a way. And it doesn't have to mean that you're too late. It doesn't have to mean that you have to have millions of dollars. I coach entrepreneurs in their businesses. That is a business that I have because, yes, you want to make as much money as possible in your business. And then take that profit and let's strategically invest it to grow your wealth. You can do both things at the same time. So it's just a matter of the right strategy.
Strategy, education, not being afraid to say you don't know, not taking yourself out of the game with your own head, right? It's kind of like, going to, it's like going to the game and you're actually in it. You're actually in it, and you're the whole way that you're going there, you're saying, I don't know, I'm not ready, I haven't, you know what I mean? And it's like, and then
Nobody at the Super Bowl who is losing in the fourth quarter at the 10-yard line is saying, well, it's already over.
yeah,
Nobody.
nobody, nobody. And the Super Bowl, this is your life, right? It's as it's is as important, and you know what? I hate to break some hearts, more important than the Super Bowl game, right? This
100%.
is your life. Look, I'd love to chat all day about money. Is there anything that we haven't covered to talk about in terms of where people are at with money, how they can shift that around? From a mindset standpoint, from a this is your first step today standpoint. Obviously, Amanda, we've got your information all over the show notes, and you've got a group where people can just come, right? Maybe talk about that because sometimes it's easier, it's like if you're going to go to a meeting about money, bring your girlfriend, you know what I mean? Bring your
Yeah.
girl. Like you might want to, that's there seems to be this thing, right? Because it's not something that we talk about. Even, a lot of people don't talk about it out of the confines of their home, and that's fine. It's not dinner conversation with strangers, but there needs to be some kind of comfort. So group is a good way to go.
Right. That's why I created the community I did, Expand Your Empire. And it is for women because we do have that, like, I don't want to look like I don't know what I'm doing. Even when I started in real estate investing with working with two guys, they're talking and I'm Googling terms because I have no idea what it means. And it's like, I don't know what I'm doing. I want to start with basic vocabulary and terminology. We're all here on the same playing field to learn together about every opportunity that you have. And there are no dumb questions. There are no topics off limits, and we are here to support one another, to ask questions, to throw ideas out there, to gain knowledge from one another in a completely non-intimidating, open community of women who are all in it for the same reason, to get power, to find community, and to grow their wealth in a way that's going to change the world. Like I said, that's what I'm in.
Wow, absolutely. Mind blowing. Amanda, for those that are listening, not if you're driving, those are listening and wanting to kind of like not wait for the show notes, right? Even though they're right there. What is your website or where can they reach you from in the media?
Yeah, expandyourempire.org. That is the best place to find me. It's got all the links to everything. You'll find the link to the community, the podcast, the courses, the coaching, all the things are on there. Expandyourempire.org.
All right. Now I'm going to ask you a completely different question and then I'm going to talk to the audience a little bit because they're my friends too. they're my friends too. I think you probably know what I'm going to ask you. You're on your way to a desert island. Yeah. You're on your way to a desert island. You're taking a suitcase. You've got room in that suitcase. I know you've been to that desert island. You've come back because you've been on the show before. Now you're taking another album with you. What are you taking?
Different album, Little Earthquakes, Tori Amos.
Oh. I didn't see that one coming.
Ah, there you go.
Ah.
I'm eclectic.
All right. She's eclectic. Okay, look at audience. Thank you so much for yet again being fabulous. I know that you are feeling wealthier just from being on this show because the allowance is there, right? It's like everybody doesn't know more than you. Right? Everybody doesn't know more than you. And there's always places to grow. And who doesn't want to grow in the world of abundance and wealth? So I'm looking forward to hearing the stories about that. And look, if you want to be sitting where Amanda is and you've got a passion, you've got a message, you've got a book, you've got whatever you got going on, if it can help and support the listeners and viewers of Mission Accepted, other people that are taking a mission, I want to hear from you. It's not difficult. Just head over to the website. Love people. We got a party going on. We got an incredible party going on. We always have parties going on. You can find us in all the corners of the world. We just came back from Ireland. If you're in California, come see us in LA, September 11th at the Emmys event that we're going to be doing, handing out the final compilation of this incredible 262 book. And it is going to be a blast. We are going to be celebrating the women's channel there. You're like the women's what? If you haven't heard, we have our own channel. So if you want to come on the podcast, cool. If you want to come on to the TV show, that's cool too. But I'm telling you got to be in Vancouver. You got to be there August 9th. We have such an event for you. Everyone from Brian Sebastian, who I know is listening to us today. Brian, thank you so much. He's got 750 million followers. Now, you guys are still the best audience, but Brian's going to bring something to the game on August 9th. There's going to be live music. There's going to be a fashion runway. There's going to be gifts. Oh my God, you get the VIP ticket. You're going to get some signed art. It's going to be an incredible event for networking, for connecting, for partying, for music. And it is important to be in each other's space. You got to get to these places at least a couple times a year where you can let go, be you. Make connection, have some fun. We're going to do all of that. We'd love for you, our Mission Accepted audience, to join us anywhere we go in the world. And to make that easy, you can head over to the website, go into 262 and look at our event tour. You'll see all the places. And you know what? We've almost caught up to Santa. We've almost caught up to Santa. We've been to so many places. All right. Thank you for being you. Amanda, thanks so for being on the show today. So appreciate that. I know we're going to do something in the future and everyone is going to want to know what that is.
Yeah, all right. And I will see everyone in Vancouver.
That's right. Woohoo. All right. Another reason to come to Vancouver. Make sure Amanda signed your book. Bring your 262 book. The authors are going to be there to sign the book. Who knows? If you're a cool person, she may want you to sign her book too. All right. With that being said, always be well, stay groovy, and we'll see you next week. Bye.